it's like the reverse of the...
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts in union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of the shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, good evening. I would like to call this evening's Kendall County Board meeting for Tuesday, August 7th, 2018 at 6 p.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Kulik?
She's running late.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Giles?
Will not be here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Will not be here.
With a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Hendricks. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. hang on a second. Do we need a preview? Oh, got it. Oh, that's right. Okay. Special recognition. Citizens to be heard. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Todd Miller, Yorkville. We're starting to get into the budget cycle, and would appear that Latrice indicates that I know that your new broker, Horton Group, has indicated that there's possibly a $1.6 million health insurance increase looming on the horizon. As you know, I've been a big advocate of an HRA instead of a HSA. You can give the benefits that you're now giving to those employees, those 225 employees, to get the HSA now, the $1,500 and the $3,000, which added up to $495,000 that you give those employees the 1st of January, like the first week in January. And one of them leaves on January 15th, and he has a family. He takes that entire $3,000 with him. Under an HRA arrangement, we'll give them that $1,500, but only for medical necessity, and it can happen as immediately as soon as they need it. That was always the big objection of having the HSA in the past, because it was doled out at either $125 or $250 a month each and every month for the 12-month period that they were employed. So at the end of that period of time, they ended up with $1,500 and $3,000. That's 100% claims liability. Basically, you're incurring $1,500 and $3,000 up front, whether they work the entire year or not. Just not right. I think that whatever, there's about $500,000 there that could be used in a different way. Probably if you do go to an HRA arrangement, I think that your claims will run somewhere between 20 and 40% of that $500,000. So at the worst case scenario, you would save $300,000, and if there's a big premium increase, that could be used. It also could be used, savings could be realized by going to a higher deductible with an HRA arrangement, and possibly that $1.6 million that's projected could be, not negotiated away, but would over the course of a year, could be saved. So anyway, or a good chunk of it anyway. So it's something to look at and consider. The other thing I'd like to talk about, it isn't on the agenda, but it's something that was discussed in past meetings, the last couple meetings, and that was regarding the GIS, the data that you want to give away. I'm of the position as a taxpayer, that's our work product. We paid for it and it should be charged for it. If somebody wants to pay for and get that big data, I have no problem with that, but there needs to be a fee arranged for that. And let's not just give it away. As you know, I'm a big fan of FOIA, but there are people that are wanting to use that for profit purposes. And every FOIA I've ever filed, there has no profit motive in it at all. So I would encourage you to revisit that for the GIS data, and let's, if folks want it, let's charge for it, and let's, if we paid for that work product, let's get some revenue off of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other residents, citizens who want to be heard?
Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry.
I did send you an email on all of you. There was the agenda for the Yorkville Plan Commission. That meeting was canceled, so your GRNE petitioner is going to have to wait another 4 weeks. Just keeps putting us further and further at the back of the line.
Thank you. Let the record show there are no additional citizens to be heard. There is a need for executive session, but can we do that at the end? We'll do that at the end. Old business, new business, standing committee reports, admin HR. Judy, are you the vice chair?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to approve an advisory referendum regarding opposition to vehicle mileage tax for the general election on November 6, 2018.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Prochaska, did you want to say anything?
We've discussed this at committee quite a bit, and we've also discussed this at committee as a whole. I think a vehicle mileage tax would be detrimental to the citizens of Kendall County. I think that bringing this to their attention through a referendum, and if passed by the citizens of Kendall County, will send a very strong message to CMAP and to Springfield of the opposition of that we have in Kendall County to a vehicle mileage tax. I ask for an aye vote on the resolution.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you. Ms. Gilmore? All right.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve the advisory referendum regarding opposition to statewide property tax for the general election on November 6, 2018.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion on this item?
Did we change the wording on that at all, ma'am?
We added an apostrophe in there, and I believe. Okay. Hold on. And they've changed it in the resolution, so it's all as discussed at committee.
Okay.
Again, if I may continue, Mr. Chairman?
You may.
Again, we've discussed this resolution at the county, at committee of the whole, and at admin HR committee. This item of discussion has been had on started by the U.S. Federal Reserve in Chicago about potentially implementing a 1% state property tax statewide to help fund the pension programs. Again, this is another item that could be very detrimental to the citizens of Kendall County if this was to ultimately go through. And I'm hoping again a resolute if the voters agree in opposing this statewide property tax, that will send a strong message to Springfield of our belief on this.
Mr. Davidson.
Mr. Cross, would that make us the number one county in the state of having the highest taxes if this goes through?
I believe there is another county that in Illinois that would be ahead of us.
So we'd be number two?
We can't let that happen. We've got to be number one.
But no, this is item I believe is going on the ballot in at least 30 other counties trying to get opposition to a statewide property tax. This item is being discussed in other counties in different forms. But again, over 30 of them are considering a resolution or a referendum on something very similar. I would ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes. Facilities, Mr. Davidson.
All right. We have discussed in trying to get our meeting last night somehow to get this our air conditioning for the safety center back out for project, and there were several suggestions. We basically can go back out to the original bid, correct? I mean, the way we, and that we have only one bidder and we took that out.
Are you asking me a question?
Yeah, I'm asking you a question.
Okay, you're looking at me.
This is legal stuff now.
You're talking about the original bid before the U.S. Community's buying program.
Right.
Yes, assuming that your original bid document said you had the right to rebid it and everything, which I believe it did. So yes, you would be able to.
Now in that, it has to be word for word. I mean, a couple of people have asked if we could, you know, put it out there as whatever you want to, you know, bid it. I don't care if they come in with a bunch of people waving fans in front of us, but put it, you know, come out with an opinion. But all the engineering and all, everything has to be included in their bid.
Here's the part that you're going to have to be careful with. If you're specifically including in your invitation for bid a request for engineering, you may have to comply with a different law, the Local Government Professional Services Selection Act, which is different. But, hold on, but if your request for proposal is just simply, we want a new air conditioning unit or for the public safety center, you guys figure out how to do it. If you feel that you need to engineer it, if you feel that you need to do X, Y, and Z, so be it. That's all included in the cost of your proposal, you can certainly do that.
Can, I guess the key, or maybe I said it wrong, if we go back out and say, look, you can bid anything you want, or we have the right for refusing any and all bids, but you have to prove to us that the structural engineering is safe. I mean,
I would just say make it in the bid documents that it has to be a structurally sound unit. Okay. I wouldn't even get into the engineering aspect.
Okay.
But you are taking that risk as well. I mean, you're relying on them to affirm that it's structurally sound. You won't have any say in how they go about doing that. So as long as the board's comfortable with it, however you guys want to do it, we can do it. You just got to decide how you want to do it.
Well, that was one of the discussions that we had last night, back and forth, and you know, all the different ways and means of the procedure. I think that you know, we can't, in the original bid, it had like, kind, or they can propose a better unit, and you know, that can stay in there, and we can maybe get something better down the road in that proposal, correct?
Yeah, the only thing is the case law states that your invitation for bid has to be sufficiently specific so that anyone that would be submitting a bid would understand what it is that they're bidding on. So however you guys want to do that is up to you. I don't know HVAC systems. I've stayed away from that my whole life, and I will continue to do so.
Coward.
It's what my dad's for.
Ms. Hendricks?
I'd like to recall for the board that we all voted, it was a tight vote, but we voted for this problem to be addressed under energy performance contracting, something that the committee has still not yet executed. And I am concerned here that there was some confounding of the bid that would have required us to put propane into the sheriff's cars with what it was that we passed. So I'm going to take a moment here, and this is from HUD.gov. This legislation has been in place for about two decades, and it's been used nationwide a multitude of times. It's saved entities like ours millions and millions of dollars, and governments continue to go back to it to use it, and I think that we need to seriously consider it, because it's the difference between paying 100% for this and paying zero. Energy performance contracting is an innovative financing technique that uses the cost savings from reduced energy consumption to repay the cost of installing energy conservation measures. Normally offered by energy service companies, this innovative financing technique allows building users to achieve energy savings without upfront capital expenses. The costs of the energy improvements are borne by the performance contractor and paid back out of the energy savings, which is guaranteed, by the way, and if the resulting solution doesn't perform as it's supposed to, the contractor has to reimburse you the difference by law. Other advantages include the ability to use a single contractor to do necessary energy audits and retrofit and to guarantee the energy savings from a selected series of conservation measures. The committee has yet to act on what the board voted for them to do, which was to seek this solution under energy performance contracting. And so I would like to put forth that the direction we need to go to is precisely that and seek the solution that costs $0 rather than 100% of the cost.
Scott?
On 620, there was a motion to rescind that motion.
No.
That passed.
No, because that was confounded with the propane solution, and that was a completely separate thing that we voted on. Completely separate. And I think if the committee's going to rescind that, they should have brought it to the board anyways. That has never been acted on. And we have that opportunity now to still do that.
Not the committee.
It from the county board, June 20th, 2017 minutes, as a member Davidson made a motion to rescind the previous motion to approve the Leopardo Energy proposal. Member Prochaska seconded the motion.
But the Leopardo Energy proposal wasn't this. This was a completely separate and different process that we were supposed to go through. And regardless of that having happened in the past, my proposed solution is that perhaps we ought to utilize the legislation that's been in place for about two decades that's being used nationwide all over the place by entities as large as counties and giant universities all the way down to cities and kindergarten through 12 schools that's saved people millions of dollars and is literally the difference between us paying $0 versus 100% of the cost.
And the reason that we rescinded that was because Leopardo didn't want to go forward without the propane, isn't that correct?
From what I recall, that it couldn't get to zero without the propane, so there would have been annual payments made to make up the difference in that savings.
Mr.
Kellogg?
We didn't have anything in the budget to do all of the upfront stuff that we had to do, so that's very
what upfront stuff?
A bond or something to raise those funds.
We don't have to. I just read you the description of the legislation.
I understand that at the end it's a zero cost, but nobody hands us $5 million to do the project up front.
Here we are again.
If you can do that, I'd
from
be great.
From the actual government site.
Thank you for interrupting me. I appreciate it.
Well, because I'm getting a little tired of us discussing how we're going to pay 100% for something that we could pay $0 for at the end of the day. It just, even if we ended up, even
at
if this legislation
day, that,
failed us.
The whole issue, though, is how do we
the
get
the costs
there?
Of the energy improvements are borne by the performance contractor and paid back out of the energy savings. Other advantages include the ability to use a single, blah, blah, blah. It's right there in black and white.
Paid back.
Even if this cost us, even if this was a dream, and we ended up paying 20% over what was supposed to be $0. That's still 80% less than 100%, and I don't understand why we never even explored. I literally brought this board the single most fiscally conservative solution to this problem, and no one moved on it.
But do we have anybody that's interested in that? Because Leopardo wasn't anymore.
But we weren't. It wasn't Leopardo that we were supposed to get. That was the whole point, was that we should have done it under this process, which is to send out an RFQ for these energy performance contractors first, and then when we decide on one that we think is just like we did for the insurance companies, where we did an RFQ for qualifications, and just like the insurance company, you then have that contractor design the best solution for you, and then you can choose between a number of different packages they're going to put together which one is going to work the best for you. But I just don't think that we can in good conscience move forward with a solution that frankly has been used multiple times over the last 20 years across this country by numerous institutions, and which the Illinois Department of Commerce and Energy will totally help you hold your hand through the process of doing the RFQ and everything. And I would put that we should try this before we agree that we're going to look for a solution that's 100%. And when you say it was rescinded, we might have voted down the Leopardo solution, but we did not rescind what this board passed 5-4. It was a tight vote. But that process has never been acted on, and that's not what was rescinded.
Scott, what was the original vote?
The original vote was 5-4. It was worded differently. I can read it. Member Kulik moved to authorize the process to select licensed architect or registered professional engineer in accordance with the Local Government Professional Services Selection Act, ILCS, 50 ILCS 510, to evaluate proposals submitted for guaranteed energy savings contract as stipulated by the Local Government Energy Conservation Act, 50 ILCS 515.
That was exactly, that's this legislation that I'm talking about. And so I'm sorry, but I cannot in good conscience allow this board to continue talking about spending a fortune on something when the opportunity to spend nothing sits before
us. The rescission was simply referred to the Leopardo
contract? Yeah, it was, yeah.
Can you read the exact language of that, please?
So,
Ms. Kulik has entered at as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome, for the record.
Member Davidson made a motion to rescind the previous motion to approve the Leopardo Energy proposal. Member Prochaska seconded the motion.
Okay. Ms. Kulik?
Apparently my memory is failing me because that's not what I remember doing, but on a separate note now, I did some research on this a little bit because I started to wonder about some of the fees and numbers for fees that were being thrown around and budget numbers that were being thrown around, and it wasn't all adding up to me. So I still have a few contacts. So I did phone some friends. I know that some of you are aware that I sat on another board for several years, and we did a lot of construction. We did a lot of remodeling. We did a lot of replacing of systems and installing new systems. And so I was able to reach out and talk to a few people. And I guess I was right in questioning that budget amount. The thing that started to make me question it was this system, which was replacing the entire system, and the system that we're only replacing the chiller portion of the system, we're looking at budget numbers that are fairly similar. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I was trying to compare it to the size of the buildings and some of the other things that we would have done in the past. Anyway, long story short, I talked to a couple people who confirmed for me that they think that that budget number is too high and that we're basing some of our fees on that budget number. And $800,000 is not even close to where we should be. And I think that this is a whole other discussion that we need to have. I think that we do need to have professionals involved. And I do think that we're throwing around numbers based on what I could tell from the architect numbers that we're getting or the architect fees that we're getting based on a project that is all in, that it had originally included the architect fees and everything else in it. And that was the budget number that we're basing somebody else's architect and engineer fees on. So I really think that it's time that we sat down with the architects and engineers. We did design, bid, build. It's time to move on with this. Let's put it to bed. Let's get the project done.
Mr. Gregg.
Mr. Davidson.
I don't know where the 800,000 number was. It can't come from except for the fact that the one party bid 800,000. The project number, as far as I was raw concerned, is 600,000. You know, went to 690,000 if we use the water cooling system.
Sorry, Mr. Davidson has the floor.
$600,000 number is the one that we've all worked at as our budget number. The $800,000 was what the one company bid. And again, that was way out of line as far as we were concerned with one bid, and committee said, no, we're rejecting it and we're going to move on. So that's where we're at, is the 600,000 is the one that we basically looking at the three air conditioners over there to replace.
Ms. Hendricks?
this energy performance contract enrolls the costs that she's talking about into the contract and improvements.
Ms. Kulik?
I've lost my train of thought.
Mr. Keppel?
It's
your recommendation at this point?
Engineering, construction, it's everything, all bundled together.
I've got a handout that might help clarify a little bit. Jim put this together. The first page is what a chilled water system looks like, and shows that it's supposed to the indoor unit and the air handlers. There's some question about this, apparently I can make a whole. And then the second page is what a single unit looks like, and the single unit replacement model was to replace each of the air handlers with a new air handler rather than doing the chiller event, which can essentially do cooling for the three air handlers.
I remember what I was going to say, and then I have an additional question. So we're still only talking about, and this is for Mr. Keppel, we're still only talking about half of the system. Because we're only trying to replace the cooling portion of the system, right?
All three are in trouble. All three are leaking.
Just the cooling portion of the system, not the heating portion of the system.
Yes.
I
are we replacing the whole system, or are we just replacing the cooling?
We're replacing the whole unit because they're 26 years old.
Okay, I'm not talking about the unit. I'm talking about the whole system. Is that the same?
So it's some of the air handlers at the Public Safety Center, not all of the air handlers at the Public Safety Center because of the expansion, has some newer equipment from 2004. That should be aged out closer because you get about 25 years to 2030. So it's not every single unit on the PSC, it's some of them, and it's the cooling portion, and then we also wanted to do some upgrades to more efficiently use our system, which will generate us some savings additionally by doing that. That was what was in the original proposal, or all the proposals.
That
those are the units that are a problem.
Thank you. Okay, so, and my thought was, before I lost my train of thought, was that I'm still worried that if we are not switching gears here and doing design, bid, build, and having somebody come in and talk about this and design it and value engineer it to where we want to be with this budget, that we are still back in the same boat where we have the chance that a manufacturer or whoever is going to be the distributor for this is writing the bid specification. And I don't think that any part of that is fair.
Ms. Hendricks.
I'd like to point out that energy performance contracting is a solution that includes the design, the engineering, the construction, the service, and the maintenance over the time period of the contract. It includes exactly what she wants, exactly, with the pricing that we need. Why aren't we attempting to do this?
Ms. Cook?
Okay, so
and then
I
Mr.
don't,
Cog and then Mr.
I'm not... I'm trying to be on the same page here, but I don't think that Audra and I are on the same page. I think that we both agree that we don't like the way that it was done in the past, but I don't know that that proposal is exactly what we're talking about here. Because when Leopardo came to
Leopardo
present to
wasn't
us,
Leopardo was not bidding under energy performance contract.
One at a time, please.
As far as I know, that's what they were bidding under, and their proposal included propane, and we already know that that's off the table, and they themselves said that changes everything. So that's another big concern with going that direction.
Mr. Kellogg.
Mr.
Prochaska.
If we're going to do something, we just need to pull the trigger and just do something. We've bandied this about for months.
Yes.
However, if we were to go back and consider energy performance contracting, can it be in anything less than the 100% funded by the energy savings, or can it be 50% funded, or is that?
Yes, I mean, that's where we were at, because we didn't have, so. With the energy performance contracting, what they try to do is they evaluate all of your systems, and they try to find as many inefficient, old, need to be replaced, things that you should be doing the right way. Like, let's say we had zero LED lights. That's an easy one. You put in LED lights, you're saving money. That goes towards paying off the higher cost items that are part of the project. They also wanted to shut off the computers at night and on the weekend. They wanted to turn off lights in the buildings. They wanted to get more efficient HVAC, so when we had a three-day weekend, we would not have the buildings as cold as if possible. They put on all these things to save us money over time to pay this off. If they can't find enough of those things, then payments need to be made by the county to make up the difference. And in the beginning, you either need to bond or you do need to borrow money to fund the entire project. And then the money is paid off in part with the savings and in part with the so you keep your budget at where it was at for your energy, and then you use that money to pay that off. So you're paying with the savings, but you need to leave your budget where it was at before. That's where the money's coming from.
Did you have a follow-up on that?
My next question was going to ask, if we so desired, could we put both an RFQ for both out? Just, and then if we get the results, we can see which is the best fit for us at the time, instead of having it die on one hill at a given moment?
Is there any reason we can't do it that way?
Not that I know of off the top of my head.
Ms. Hendricks.
And so I'm just left with the logic of anything that makes us pay less than 100% is better than paying 100%. And Leo Pardo was not bidding this to us under this legislation. And now we have Mr. Smiley coming to us and telling us there's other things that need replacement, and that he's now looking into LED fixtures. Stop. Let's take a look at the county as a whole and let this major budget impacting project that we want to design and have control over that way be bid under this legislation, so that we pay much less than 100% of the cost.
Glenn?
And then Ms. Fox.
And Scott.
I believe that we have already looked at some of this cost savings, because that proposal that they gave us included their ideas for these energy cost savings. And so these are things that we can implement and not have to borrow money or pay upfront for the system. We're going to realize the savings anyway. So I think that we're...
But it won't be guaranteed.
There's nothing that's guaranteed.
It is under the energy performance contracting. It's guaranteed. And if you don't meet it, they cut you a check back for it.
Who's cutting us a check back for it?
I think it's Alameda County right now who's going back to do it again. It's been so effective. Like, I don't understand what the resistance is to possibly paying $0. And
all right, Ms. Kulik still has the floor. Sorry.
I guess my concern with that is that if anybody's cutting us a check back, it better be because we have taken every single one of their recommendations. So we will be paying for replacement of every single item on that list. And that's money that we're going to have to pay up front to replace all those things. And then we have to be doing every single energy-saving thing that they're asking us to do exactly the way that they're asking us to do it for any kind of guarantee to be in place. I think that we're better to put in, to implement anything that we can possibly implement as far as cost savings, and replace the items that we can replace on the schedule that we can afford to replace them with our budget. I just feel like that's a much better way to go. And so I'm done. I've said my piece.
Thank you. Ms. Flowers.
My question is kind of along those lines. If we decide to take partial implementation of those measures, would we still receive those same cost savings?
Yes, because part of
Ms. Hendricks for the answer.
Part of this program is that they put together different proposals from which you can choose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we decide to choose, and the thing that you have to remember is the ongoing cost of ownership is much less, because bundled in with this is the guarantee for the equipment for the life of the contract and the service of it, which now is not our cost either. So we can choose that. Now, if we decide to choose one that only saves us 80%, we can do that.
Mr.
I guess what I'm saying is that the Leo Pardo solution was not specifically written under this legislation. They were trying to come up with an energy savings solution, but it wasn't directly done under this legislation, which is a different thing.
Mr. Kebble?
I just want to clarify that if the energy savings route, it would be an RFQ, and it would be similar to how we did the health insurance brokers, where vendors would come in and say, this is why we're a great company, these are all the things we do, these are the projects we've done, this is the other the money savings we've had for other people. It would not be specifically, we're going to put in X, we're going to do X, we're going to do Y. We pick them, they do a huge analysis, they come back to us and say, we want to do all of these projects. It just works differently than the way we've done projects in the past. I wanted to clarify that. as opposed to if we hire an engineer, they design it, we do a bid from their specs like we did with the security project, and then we do the build out, or if we come up with our own specs and we do a bid like we had done and then facilities kicked it because it was too expensive, we do the bid on ourselves, we say this is exactly what we want. On this one, it's more of we're picking the merits of a company to help us through this process of using the energy savings legislation. So it's just, it's a different way than what the experience that we've had in the past for big projects.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, with all due respect to Ms. Hendricks, thank you for bringing that up to us, but, you know, we've talked about this so many times in committee and at committee of the whole, facilities committee, and I think what, in my mind, what you're describing is what Leopardo was doing for us. They looked at our whole, every building here to try to find savings, energy savings, and the best thing that they came up with was the propane, was the way I remember it, and that was not going to work for us, and that's why we got out of that deal with Leopardo. So I don't see where anybody else is going to come in and be able to do it any differently than what Leopardo's already done for us.
Mm-hmm. I'll defer to Mr. Kellogg.
Actually, I don't have the signed official copy of the RFP, but I've got the draft one that I've been reading, and it's all about Leopardo and all about it's got the wording right in your implementation of innovation solutions and energy conservation measures at Kendall County, blah, 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 Government Energy Act 50 ILCS 515. I mean, that's the RFP we sent out, and it goes through all these things. I mean, it's very specific about energy cost savings, guarantees. It even quotes that Leopardo helped us do an audit beforehand. I mean, it's everything that you're saying it's not. I'm sorry, but unless it got changed between this one and the vote, I don't have the final copy in front of me, but it says Leopardo in it a lot.
Ms. Cool.
So my question is, and Mr. Keppel, hopefully you can answer this for us because you know more about it than I do. So this company that comes in, Leopardo or whoever the company is that would come in and that we would choose, are their fees on top of whatever design or engineering fees that there are?
It's all built into one project. There's one overarching cost that includes any services they provide, all the work that they do, the engineering, the project itself. There's like a big number that then gets paid off over time with energy savings, if applicable, to cover the entire cost, or energy savings to a certain point, and then the county would pay the difference to get to that, to the annual number, to cost out the either a loan or a bond or whatever it was to pay off the project over 20 years, 15 years. There's also discrepancy about the number of years you can do it over, but that's a whole other legal question.
I don't think we should any of us be under the delusion that there's not a fee for them to manage this project or that they're getting a fee on top of
No, they don't get a fee on top of it. It's all bundled. It's all, I know it seems too good to be true.
Were you done, Ms. Kulik? I'm sorry.
I'm done.
Which is why I read a lot about it before I brought it here because I was like, what? And it includes everything. Everything. And all I'm saying is if we have an opportunity to not pay 100%, why wouldn't we take that opportunity?
All right, so do we have a consensus? I'm not hearing a strong one. Ms. Flowers?
And those costs would include all the engineering, so we wouldn't have to, you know, do the engineering portion here and the build portion here. So that would all be included in the one charge.
Scott?
Okay. They come in and say we're a great company. They then go and they have to hire engineers. It depends on the size of the company and what their expertise is. Some of the bigger ones do everything in-house. Some of them farm out parts of it. But they get everything into one bundled price, and then they tell us, you know, that we have a certain number of years to pay off the total, which I imagine they make money. They're a company. So their profits are going to be included in the project. The cost for engineering is going to be included. The cost for a chiller is going to be included. A cost for new lights. All those things are bundled into one big number.
Mr. Kellogg.
I just wanted to make it clear on what we passed and what we rescinded. In Section C, number 3, the part that Leopardo had a problem with, from what I understand, is in our RFP, instead of doing the whole fleet to LP, in RFP it says a description of how the county could implement a propane fuel pilot program for 5 to 6 county vehicles, provided as a per unit basis. That was their problem with it, that they wouldn't move forward with it, because they needed cost savings for the whole thing to meet the legislation. So that section C number 3 is the reason we rescinded it.
Ms. Hunter.
But we never went out and looked for any other company.
No,
we
this,
never did a request
this is an RFP
for qualifications.
It's not for Leopardo.
With all due
for
respect,
anybody.
Leopardo may quite possibly not have been the best fit to look for
so
that.
So nobody
solution.
Else answered, so what do you do?
Because you need to put out an RFQ, not an RFP. And you let them come in and audit the entire county, this building, highway, everything. They look at what your needs are. And since the time that we originally talked about this, there's now other pieces of equipment that need to be replaced. There's talk about installing these LED fixtures, which would fall under this. We're starting to now pick up other items that could be contributed to this.
Mr. Kellogg.
Can I read the entire thing? Are we going to talk that long tonight? I mean, if we're going to keep regurgitating the same information and argue about it back and forth, I'll read the entire RFP that we did out loud if you want me to. I'm just saying that.
I don't want you to, but if somebody does, please do.
I hate to read it word for word so that everybody understands what we put out for bid on there for the proposal, but I can if that helps end this.
Ms. Flowers?
I know that we are on a time crunch with this particular system. So what would be the expectation of the time frame for that process or for the RFP or RFQ that we're going to do? What would be those time frames that we're looking at in order to get the project bid on and done?
Scott?
The hope would be if, and the one I can only speak mostly to design bid build type situation because that's what I have the most experience with. I've never done the RFQ for the energy savings. We could put in there that we have a timeline.
Well, how long did that take before?
They never completed it fully because they would want to do more. They come in, they go to all of our buildings, they meet with staff, they analyze everything so they can find every possible way to save money, so and save energy. So that I imagine takes more time than just designing an air conditioning system.
Right.
It has to because the other that one also has to design air conditioning system as part of it. If we did the design one, the hope would be to have the designing portion done, engage somebody maybe September, October, have the designing done in a few months, put the RFP then or bid out for the system on the street, start in December or January to get the project, which would take almost 6 months to get it done before it starts getting really hot. That would be the hope with the design bid build. With the RFQ, that's the kind of questions we'd have to ask when we interviewed companies that could possibly provide the service, just because it's new to me, and I just in the amount of work, I think it would take longer intuitively, but I've never done it before, so I can't speak from experience.
Mr. Prochaska? Oh. Ms. Gilmore, Ms. Cook?
I think in the interest of saving time and getting this project done that we have been talking about for far too long, I don't believe that we can limp it along long enough to get through that process, if that was what the will of the board was. So I need to know how do we alter this? How do I alter this motion or amend this motion so that it's a design bid build motion on the floor and let's vote on it and get on with it?
Leslie, what would be the appropriate way to turn that into a motion? Based on right now, we have discussion recommendation for Public Safety Center air conditioner replacement project, and Ms. Kulik would like to make the recommendation that we proceed with a design bid build option.
I think that would be a motion to approve the recommendation of whatever it is you want to recommend. I think that will fall under the agenda item.
Okay.
Then I would like to make a motion to recommend that we do design, bid, build for the chiller system at the Public Safety Center.
And does that, Scott, encompass?
Is that inclusive enough?
The questions that come to me are, do you want to do an RFQ like the health insurance where you have the... All the architects come into the board. Do you want to have staff pick it? Do you want to have the facilities committee pick the architect?
I think pick the architect based on who we have arranged agreements with at this point.
Okay.
So is that motion enough
for staff to be able to?
Yeah, we can. We'll look at the costs and who,
and
we have
is the chiller
who
system
we've
system
done.
What
yeah,
we need.
Done as quickly as possible.
Is the chiller system correct?
Well, the good part about hiring an architect is they'll tell us what the best option is to fix our air conditioning problem. There may be something that Jim and I have no experience with that is a better fit for our buildings.
Okay, well, her motion was for design, bid, build of the chiller system. I just want to make sure that that's...
I think that right now the best would recommendation from what, if I'm guessing correct, just to hire an architect to design a system. Is that what I'm said? Because then I don't want to necessarily pinpoint it, because they might say that we're better off doing something else. I'd like to leave the architects to build the best solution for us, would be my, in my opinion, that could save money or, you know, the best fit for what we need.
Okay. So are you amending?
Could you
I'm amending my motion. I have to repeat it.
Do you want to just withdraw your motion?
Well, let's withdraw my motion.
And start again?
Yeah, but I really don't know how I'm supposed to word that. So I would like to make a motion for recommendation that staff chooses an architect that we have worked with in the recent past and or have an agreement with to design, bid, build a system for the public safety center that would encompass the chiller system and whatever other items need to be replaced.
Get all that?
Say it again.
No, I'm not saying it again.
All right.
Does that work?
Okay, I'll second it.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Gilmore. Ms. Flowers.
Didn't we already go through this process? I mean, didn't we have train design, or was it train? I'm not sure.
It's a good communities program that we voted down to.
Mr.
I'm just, my concern is that are we going to have the same people who, you know, the same situation that the people who designed the system are the only ones who can actually install it? And because, I mean, that was the problem with the bid before.
Right.
So I don't want to run into that same issue, and it just seems like we keep dragging our feet on this thing. My other concern is, can we, if we do this particular process with the chiller system right now, can we then also have the efficiency of the county looked at for other areas where we can save some money?
Mr. Kappel.
So if we do this, it wouldn't be to use the same, so we wouldn't hire Train as an architect. We'd hire an architect we have a relationship, like just use Dewberry as an example because it's the most recent project that was successful. There was a security project. We hired Dewberry as architect and engineer. They designed a security system for the jail. They helped us do a bid, and then they managed the project. SAS was the company that won the bid to do the project, to implement the security. We worked with Dewberry all the way through the project until we closed it out. So we would engage them. They would design us an air conditioning system, and then we could do a bid, and then what other companies that install air conditioning systems would answer that bid, and we'd work with Dewberry along the way to help manage the project and finish it at the end, all the way through. So they would design it, and then some other company would install it. That company might be, you know, a Train expert company, for instance, or whatever other companies are out there, and then they would do the installation. So it would not be the same company doing all of it if we hired an architect that we worked with in the past.
Okay.
And as for that, we can always try to do that legislation and hire a company with an RFQ to just come in and do the evaluation of our systems and bring things up to us. I don't think that it was brought on by the air conditioners because of the high cost, but we can certainly do that for any reason. Windows or window replacements would help with AC, things like that. You know, there's a lot of things we could possibly do.
Okay. Ms. Gilmore.
Scott, besides Dewberry and Kluwer, who are the other ones that we have relationships with?
I'd have to speak with Jim because the ones that I have experience with are Dewberry and Kluwer, and I've spoke with both of them about it. They both have teams that can handle this project, so a lot of it would just be to meet with them and talk to them and see what I thought was the best option, what the price would be. Jim and I would then weigh those options out and go with who we think would be the best for the project.
Mr. Prochaska.
If we end up approving this motion and we do go down path of a design, bid, build with an engineer, I would highly suggest staff reach out to the U.S. Communities Purchasing Program and let them know that we're going through and see if our bid would qualify to be a part of the program, and if other communities across the country then would use the bid similar to ours, we would then qualify and get a percentage back of their project. DuPage County has done this before, where they have been the lead agency with U.S. Communities Purchasing, and they've made over $300,000 in the past few years on it. So.
Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
No.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
No.
Ms. Flowers?
No.
Looks like 4-4.
4-4. So we're back to the drawing board.
Yep.
All right. Finance Committee. Ms. Kulik.
Mr. Chairman, before we leave my committee, please.
Mr. Davidson, additional facilities.
Last night we held a meeting, and I have two sheets here that I'd like to make note. One that this was back in March 27th, we received it from the city of Yorkville, and the dates for our solar field were supposed to be April 12th, May 1st, May 9th, and City Council voted on May 22nd. Last night I received one. The July meeting was canceled. The August meeting was canceled. And we are looking at November at the earliest. I think it was the 9th of November. I have it here on my desk. Everybody, I'm saving everything.
Mr. Couple, I think can bail you. I think Mr. Couple can help you out.
Yeah.
I spoke with Bart Olson this morning. As of now, the Plan Council meeting, which is a staff meeting in Yorkville, is scheduled for Thursday, August 9th. All these dates are tentative. The Economic Development Committee meeting is Tuesday, September 4th. The Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing is October 10th. And then the City Council vote would be on November 13th. Those are the dates that I got from, they're tentative dates, but those are the dates that I've got from Bart Olson today.
So everybody knows where we're at from May to November, and we still, it's a big if. So if they even hold a meeting.
So for budgeting purposes this year, we cannot count on the savings?
There's no way, and it looks like if we're lucky, we'll be in the second draft if we get lucky in the spring. There's no, we were told last night that their selection could be in November, the first selection of the draft.
Ms. Hendricks?
On the upside, if it doesn't go through, we could always own the solar field and do our HVAC system at $0 to us.
I mean, this is a $4 million grant to Kendall County.
You can do that.
Not only Yorkville, but the county together. And there's a heck of a savings there for all the taxpayers, so. I sure would like to see somebody other than the city council or this board go to the mayor at their meeting and maybe give your opinion, please, to help push the pencil.
Any other questions, comments on facilities?
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Finance Committee, Ms. Kulik.
I'd like to make a motion to approve claims in an amount not to exceed $1,034,301.65. Credit jurors in an amount not to exceed $616.60. That's my first one. Thank you.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Kellogg. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve coroner claims in an amount not to exceed $5,196.99.
Second. Motion by Kulik, seconded by Flowers. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Okay, our next item is really we're looking for some direction from the board.
I thought this was going to be our hot button item.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, maybe we have another one.
Yeah.
We've started to really talk about budgets and kick some numbers around.
we don't have numbers on what, where our health insurance is going to come in and what that's going to look like. They really need, the carriers will need, until the end of September's claims to give us any idea about where they're going to come in. So they're not going to start bidding until September sometime. We had a long, very long meeting with Horton, our new broker. They are working diligently and will try to get us some numbers in September as quickly as they can possibly get us numbers. But with the way that our claims history has run in the past and the way that it looks now, we are probably starting around that 35% again. Increase the claims history thus far has been worse this past year than it was in the year before that. And in many years, actually, up until.
Yay.
So it's looking bleak. So the budget numbers are, as far as our shortfall, are looking bleak as well. So we talked about not being able to even be flat at this point, that we may have to talk about a small reduction in budgets across the board. And so we really were trying, and Mr. Davidson, Mr. Prochaska, Mr. Kellogg, if you would like to jump in here at any point, please do. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead.
Mr. Kellogg.
I mean, we're looking at the health insurance going up again. I know we were kind of shocked last year as it went up, but the big thing in the budget going forward is we pulled a bunch of money from the building fund. We took $850,932 from that fund that just was used to kind of plug the leak in the dam. We took $265,000 out of the county special reserve fund, and those are the two big ones, but there's other spots. We're pulling these funds down as low as we can. And I know departments have health or employees that got, you know, union raises at 2.5% to 3%, I'm not gonna raise the taxes on people enough to make up for that gap. We gotta figure out something, because long term it doesn't work. Do we get leaner? I don't know what the answer is. We need to basically have the elected officials and department heads really look at this and say, okay, what can we do? We need solutions, and raising taxes isn't one of them. I know we didn't take the CPI number last year. I can't remember what Latrice had for a number, but we're like $1.6 million in red this year looking forward. And we got to use the CPI of another $450,000 on there. So I don't know. We got to have help from all the people in the county to figure this one out. So.
So based on that, is this number that you came here, does that get us to zero?
No, 2% didn't. It was more like five or six. But we're looking at the healthcare number that is a projection. And I know last year we had a really high projection, and it came in better than we thought, but our claims history again is terrible. So to think that we're going to improve that again, it's going to be a tough nut to crack to think that we could, you know, knock it from what they're proposing down to 5-6% for healthcare. And unfortunately, our number one expense is salaries in healthcare. I mean, that's what it is.
If we take the full CPI plus new construction, what's the number this year?
I don't have that in front of me.
It wasn't close.
But there is an estimate though, right?
Yeah, we had an estimate.
Scott?
So if we take this, the CPI would roughly be about $500,000.
With new construction?
That does not include the new construction. The new construction is closer to like $250,000.
Thank you.
I have some other numbers, rough numbers.
Go ahead.
Right now, including the proposed 30% increase for health insurance and not including capital in the general fund, it's looking like a shortfall of about $2.5 million at this point. A 2% cut would amount to about $560,000 from last year's general fund, which was roughly $28.5 million. So a 2% cut is about $560,000.
And we had 1.6 of that was from health insurance.
Yes.
Roughly 800,000 was other salary increases and other things. The CPI of 450. One good thing is we're tracking with fiscal year 18 to have a surplus, but not
like anywhere near these numbers, maybe 400,000. We projected in our budget, I think, 274, don't quote me on that, but a little bit better than we thought for this year. But these numbers don't, they don't work.
Ms. Gilmore.
Well, I had a couple things. You know, last year we had, with health insurance, we didn't have a good claim history either. And I think we started out like 30 or 35%. And the only reason we were able to get it down to, I think, 3% was because we did changes in our plan. So I don't know if we're going to talk about that this year or not. But the other thing I want to ask you guys in the Finance Committee is, are you all in agreement on this then, the 2% decrease and the wages of 3%? Increase?
I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I know John necessarily wasn't in favor of asking for it. He was...
Yeah, I spoke to him on the phone today, and he indicated he wasn't necessarily in favor, but he supported the committee's...
Yeah, we don't know the answer, so
which one, though? The decrease or the increase, or both?
He wasn't in favor of asking for a 2% decrease from everyone. I don't know what his thought was. I just know that he was the only one...
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Ms. Lodge?
I guess I'm just curious how you're going to reduce the county overall by 2% and still do up to 3% raise.
We're asking each department head and elected official to look at their budget and try to come up with some creative solutions and work with us on how to do that. We don't want to dictate that to anyone.
No, and we also want to allow them. Some of them have special funds and different income sources that are in their budget. So if they can move stuff from general fund and, you know, maybe use another fund or something else to cover some of those costs to help us with the general fund, because we don't control some of those funds.
Mr. Davidson.
You know, every year we come back to this whole thing. And it's got to start somewhere, and this group has asked to be sit at these desks and supposedly be leaders of the community. There's got to be some hard times here. We keep asking department heads and everybody to cut, which is fine, but then we don't stand up and enforce that cuts. You know, I'm sorry, I've said for the last few years, we've got to put a hiring freeze out, and I don't care how you cut it. You can't ask for a 2% deduct when some of these departments ain't got nothing to deduct. You know, I mean, we're a small county. We got small departments. We can't, you know, the departments are... Hopefully everybody's not adding to their coffers all the time. But we got to stand up, and we got to, you know, give the department heads what their costs are. Say, here's our cost now. What can you do to us? We got to give them the numbers. We got to get them involved in this decision. Those department heads need to be coming and meeting with us. And we need to talk and say, what can we do or where are we going? I mean, I know nobody wants to raise taxes, and I've sat here and said, we are the second or third highest taxing body in the state.
Not taxing body, county.
County, excuse me. County. Well, don't care where it's at.
The county's actually pretty good shape. Concerned.
But what I'm saying is, we got to get everybody involved. We're the 10 of us don't have as much knowledge as the top 10 department heads and Scott, knowing what's actually functioning. We pay the bills, we set policy. We should be done. And they should be the ones sitting here putting this budget together and making it work. All we got to do is say, there's the dollars we got, here's the dollars you get to work with. Now let's see what you can do.
Ms. Flowers first, sorry.
I don't know, I just...
Then Kellogg and
And maybe I shouldn't say it, but isn't that what the health department did and did it very well and basically got punished for that?
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Mr. Kellogg?
I just got confused. I guess my concern is that a lot of departments and people don't understand the cost, the true cost of employees. You know, when we're covering things under a general fund in that budget versus their budgets, and we're covering the IRMF, the workman's comp, the, you know, it just adds up to something like 30, I think we talked about 32%, was it? Anybody help me on that one? Of an actual employee's cost,
yeah, it's about
30% more to cover all the benefits of things we're covering in the general fund. So we need to have everybody understand the true cost of employees and just make sure, I mean, there's going to be departments, people that are running lean and efficient now, and I understand that. There have been people that have, you know, from what I understand, made cuts in the past to try and get there, but there's not an easy solution, and I don't want to be the one micromanaging every single person's budget. So if they don't come and help us, I don't know how we're going to do it.
I've got a question for you, I guess, for the committee members. How did you arrive at the 2% and 3% numbers, I guess? Because from what I'm hearing, I don't know that that gets us where we need to get for a balanced budget.
Yeah.
And so my concern is, if you give this, which is already going to be, let's be blunt, it's already going to be a challenge for some departments to meet the 2%, but if we have to go back later and say, actually it's 3 or 4%, I mean, that I don't think it's fair to them, and it's it'd be a lot harder to take it out, you know, at a later date.
That's a very good point.
But I guess, was there a kind of a, I know a lot of discussions. I missed being on the who made these committees.
We were
on the finance committee, but
we were really trying to start somewhere, and no, it is not going to solve all of the issues. But it is a start, and it's, you know, somewhere for us to try to start. I guess it's to have some conversations surrounding.
Thank you, Ms. Henriks.
That was a question I had. I was going to look for the dollar amounts of what the 2% and the 3% represented, but I'm concerned that what, moving forward, I think what we're going to be doing is forcing departments to lay off people. And so I have a technical question, because I'm not sure how this works in government, but a very, very effective solution in the private sector is that rather than lay off people, everybody agrees to work fill in the blank number of days at no pay, or take that day off with no pay, so that nobody has to be laid off and expenses actually can get reduced. Now, I don't know if we can functionally do that with our non-union employees or departments here as a matter of law, but I put that out there because I've seen that really work and be highly effective, and it really does cost cut.
I have actually seen that as well in other counties, especially after the Great Recession and then, you know, the aftermath of that, where they shut down on a day or an afternoon specifically. And is, have we looked at that, you know, as an option? And
it's
what
a furlough day.
Furlough,
thank
day.
You.
What a kind of savings that would be.
Of course, the lawyer knows the name for it.
Mr. Prochaska.
I believe we.
I know we did a couple years ago.
We looked at it a couple years ago, and the big issue with the furlough days is it comes in with our union contracts. So we could grant the furlough days to our non-union employees, but the union employees would have to go back and, my understanding is, basically reopen the contracts to be able to give those furlough days. And so that always has gone kind of against what my own philosophy, so which is why I've never seriously considered a furlough day, is we don't want to. I personally don't want to treat the non-union employees differently than the union employees. That's where we got the 3% number, is an arbitrator told us that one of our union bargaining units is getting a 3% increase, and that's my understanding where that 3% number came in for the non-union salaries. But it goes back to the furlough days. I don't want to treat the non-union employees differently, and if we have to go back to the bargaining table, that's an entirely
different can of worms. I'm not sure if we want to go there quite yet.
Mr. Kellogg and then Mr. Davis.
I was going to just second that and say that we already have some non-union employees seeking unionization that I don't know how we would get that through without pushing more people to do that.
Mr. Davis.
Well, everybody is correct. Go back in history a little bit, I think it was Bill Weix and I don't remember who else was the vice chairman of negotiating with the union, but they negotiated two separate types of contracts with the non-union and the union, and it ended up costing us, the health insurance, and I think it cost us, I don't remember what it was, the union side that we paid $1,000 to per person to make it balance out because we gave more to the non-union people than insurance. And everybody on the other side got $1,000 check across the board.
That was for the HRA.
Out. Pardon?
That was, I think, an HRA that we used to have with the health insurance.
Something like that. So, I mean, you got to be careful here.
Ms. Hendricks and then Ms. Fox.
Well, and that was my concern, was the problem with the unions, but I think we could at least maybe make it voluntary. I mean, when I've seen this implemented and you explain to employees that you taking off one day without pay means that we don't have to lay anybody off, the participation rates have been very, very high. So maybe the key to that is, I mean, we can offer it voluntarily. Maybe they take it, maybe they don't. But if they do, we're saving at least that much money in the end as well. So I just wanted to mention that. I've seen that when it's been explained what's at stake, the participation rates be very high.
Ms. Flowers.
But could that be considered a union busting type move? Because then the unions don't have that flexibility of furlough, so that's where the layoffs would be coming from.
That's why I'm asking. It doesn't seem to me like union busting. My concern was more that they would complain that people are being given a day off without pay or whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying I've seen this work. The participation rates have been high because it turns out human beings like to save their fellow human beings' jobs for them at the expense of one day a month. So I'm just putting it out there that there's this solution possible and maybe we should explore it. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Was there a motion?
I will make that my motion.
Motion by Kulik.
What's
is there a second?
we need to make a motion to approve the Finance Committee's recommendations of a 2% fiscal year 2019 budget decrease countywide and up to 3% salary increase for non-union employees.
Second.
What's our time frame for getting this back from the... example, is there another finance committee that comes up that could maybe
the finance committee
drill down?
Meeting this Thursday at 6 p.m., a special one, and then we have one the following Thursday. I can't remember what date we were trying to start budgets hearings. So.
We weren't going to start budget hearings, I thought, until September.
Until after Labor Day.
Yeah, after Labor Day, I think I heard.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm just not super comfortable with where we're at, but I'm just one, I guess.
No, I'm not comfortable. With
you know what? We're not there yet either, which is why we wanted some direction. Mm-hmm. I think it was really more supposed to be some direction and input from the board rather than an official motion.
5:30. I know there's a motion.
I would be happy to withdraw my motion if Mr. Kellogg would like to withdraw in a second, and we can take this input back to committee from the board.
I'm fine with that. I'll withdraw myself.
And here, I guess, a couple of things that I would suggest is, I think the furloughs, a discussion worth having, whether you go that route or not, that can be decided. I know that we've talked about it a couple of years ago, but maybe it's time to talk about that again, just to see where it goes and if it fits in. I know that there are some counties that are looking at early retirement packages, and I know that that's something that we've also discussed in the past, and you may be discussing now, but something to look into as well and see if that makes sense for, at least long-term sustainability.
So those are at least a couple of things that I guess I would want to look at a little bit more. And then this also gives us a little more time to see what keeps coming in, if we have a couple more weeks before we bring it up again. And I don't know if you got a meeting this Thursday. Do we want to talk about it again at Cal, I think? Or
maybe I think that might be a good idea because the meeting this Thursday, and I was going to make an announcement about that. It's a special finance committee meeting this Thursday, 6:00 p.m. in this room. It's to hear the auditor's presentations. That's what we call the special meeting for. So we will not
be
discussing budget or anything else at that point. So
there's not another finance between now and then?
Following Cal, which I think would lead to the perfect topic for Cal again.
Do we have a heavy Cal agenda right now?
One of the big things at the Cal agenda is the staff needs direction on which broker
insurance
for property liability and workers' comp the board would like to select. But that's, to my knowledge, the big one right now. There hasn't been a lot that's come from other committees yet. So that's the big item that's on there.
We could defer that with the urgency of budgeting. We could defer that to the next Cal. But
do we have enough time?
We have until the end of the year on that.
The end of the fiscal year?
End of the fiscal year on that.
It depends. We'll let the bid for our workers' comp liability and property insurance. If you want the current broker to do that for this year, then you can put it off. But if you wanted to have a new broker getting the renewal, we do have a time limit.
I got an August calendar here somewhere. The only reason I was asking is if it would make sense to flip finance with Cal so you could have the discussion and then whatever you discussed at that meeting, fill us in on. But maybe we just talk about it again.
We're looking for input from
the county board meeting.
Right. We're looking for some input from the board, so I don't know that we necessarily want to flip-flop it.
I think we've brought most of the stuff forward that we know right now. It's that health insurance one, that $1.6 million bond bid.
And you've looked at these other items that we've talked about tonight?
Well, we have not those, but I think it's, I don't know if we're going to have enough put together by Thursday to talk about.
I don't think we will.
The following Thursday? I don't know. I'm into some of that stuff, so.
We can maybe leave it from now for a while. We can leave Cal on the Cal agenda. We can have discussion of the budget, and if there's anything to add, then we can, and if not, then we'll just continue it.
Thank you.
So let's keep adding that. That for you, or is it? I guess that's for Valerie. Scott, let's add that for the Cal. Just kind of going forward until we get through budget season.
So unless there's anything additionally you change to, so just budget FY 2019 discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then commit.
Can I just tag on to my announcement?
Yeah.
Because I started that, but I didn't get to finish the qualifier on that. It is a regular committee meeting. It is not a committee of the whole meeting on Thursday night. So all board members are welcome to attend, but they will not be able to participate in any way, shape, or form.
And county board members,
if
you have ideas, now's the time for the finance committee to hear them. And I know that we've kicked a few around here today, which I'm sure they'll take back and talk about. But if there are other things that you're like, hey, this would be a great idea, I know that they welcome it. You know, and talking to John as well, this isn't easy. And when the alternative is going to be, potentially our biggest expense, which is frankly employees at this point, we want to look at every option that's out there. So please talk to a finance committee member, talk to John, talk to Lynn, and let's see what we can come up with. All right, anything else on that, on finance?
No.
May I have a motion to approve standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Flowers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports. KenCom Executive Board. Ms. Gilman.
Yes. We meet August 23rd at 5:30 at the Public Safety Center.
Thank you. Housing Authority, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, the Housing Authority will meet August 24th at the Health and Environment Building the HHS Building at 8 p.m. 8 a.m.
Thank you. Historic Preservation, Ms. Flowers?
We had our July meeting, actually August 2nd, due to scheduled conflicts, but we did draft a letter regarding the Millbrook Bridge and our regret that we can't really do more. And then we also are working toward doing another meeting, like a gathering meeting again in February for all the different agencies in the area. And then we are just working on that ordinance, trying to get our certification. So.
Okay. Sounds like you're busy.
Yep.
Mr. McKellick.
Highway Committee will not be meeting on Tuesday. We didn't have anything pressing to cover. We'll have an update on projects probably for the COW for everybody if anybody's curious.
Is there any update on the Wickeduke?
The Wickeduke project?
Trail?
The planning process.
Yeah.
Fran and I met with the Village of Oswego and the engineers to talk through, get their input because it's their project unless we suddenly come up with the money to do it. It's going to be in Oswego's jurisdiction for the most part. Some of it will be township, and some of it's Plainfield, and some of it's us, but the bulk of it's Oswego. So we met with them, and the engineers had questions about, you know, their thoughts and how they were going to proceed with the developers and those things, and we'll have something to present September.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right, so that's canceled for Tuesday, Highway?
Correct.
All right, great, thank you. Chairman's report, I did want to announce, PBZ members in particular will want to hear this, and Leslie, if you have anything to add, but the Antos Bridge has been completed. The only thing remaining is the culvert needs to be pulled out now, but the bridge is complete. Is there anything other than that? Is that?
He has indicated the planning, building, and zoning that he hopes to have the culvert out by the end of August. So stay tuned.
So it's moved along. All right, appointments. May I have a motion to approve Sarah Herbrick, Historic Preservation Commission, 3-year term, expiring August of 2021. Sean Flaherty, Sheriff's Merit Commission, 3-year term, expiring August 2021. Don Maroney, Sheriff's Merit Commission, 4-year term, expiring August 2022. Cliff Fox, Zoning Board of Appeals, 5-year term, expiring August 2023. Audra Hendricks, Workforce Development Board, 2-year term, expiring of September 2020.
So moved.
Motion
second.
By Kulik, seconded by Flowers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Announcement, I would like to announce Dr. Annette K.S. Manabi, TB Board, 2-year term, expiring August of 2020. Is there any other business? Citizens to be heard. You have 5 minutes.
Todd Miller in Yorkville. I'm going to tell you where to find another $100,000, and you can ask for it. Your undersheriff gets a pension from Yorkville that's over $100,000, and we pay him a county salary of over $100,000. His pension is actually more than what his county pay is. So if you're looking for somebody to ask to give some money back, to help out his rank and file deputies that are on the line that go out and patrol every day, you might ask him to waive his salary, and that money could be used for some of those raises.
Thank you. Any other citizens to be heard? I could show there's no one. Questions from the press? All right. There is a need for executive session. Could I have a motion to go into the executive session for the purpose of
number 11, litigation when an action against affecting or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed or is pending before a court or administrative tribunal.
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks,
second.
Seconded by Prochaska. Roll call, please.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yep.
I have to just say
All right, we are back in regular session. We have I have a motion to adjourn by Prochaska.
Second.
Seconded by Hendricks. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We adjourn. Good night, Scott.
Good night.
A little bit of science to it.